How do you guys handle things when they're a big news item that's controversial? Like, there was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. So our protocol is different from Twitter's. What Twitter did is they said you can't share this at all. We didn't do that. What we do is we have. If something is reported to us as potentially misinformation, important misinformation, we also have this third-party fact-checking program because we don't want to be deciding what's true and false. And for the, I think it was 5 or 7 days when it was basically being determined whether it was false, the distribution on Facebook was decreased, but people were still allowed to share it. So you could still share it. You could still consume it.
So when you say the distribution is decreased,
it got shared.
How does that work?
It basically, the ranking in newsfeed was a little bit less. So fewer people saw it than would have otherwise. So it definitely.
By what percentage?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's meaningful. But I mean, but basically, a lot of people were still able to share it. We got a lot of complaints that was the case. You know, obviously this is a hyper-political issue. So depending on what side of the political spectrum, you either think we didn't censor it enough or censored it way too much. But
right. But
we weren't sort of as black and white about it as Twitter. We just kind of thought, hey, look, if the FBI, which, you know, I still view as a legitimate institution in this country, it's like very professional law enforcement, they come to us and tell us that we need to be on guard about something, then I want to take that seriously.
To really understand it, that thought process was all about how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible. And that means that we need to sort of give you a little dopamine hit every once in a while because someone liked or commented on a photo or a post or whatever. And that's going to get you to contribute more content, and that's going to get you, you know, more likes and comments. I mean, it's a social validation feedback loop that it's like a, I mean, it's exactly the kind of thing that a hacker like myself would come up with, because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. And I think that the inventors, creators, you know, and it's me, it's Mark, it's the, you know, Kevin Systrom at Instagram, it's all of these people, understood this consciously, and we did it anyway.
That's the way the Jews work. They are deceivers. They plot. They lie. They do whatever they have to do to accomplish their political agenda. Members of the U.S. military are going to have to take a stand because of this Jew coup in the United States. You have been taken over by a Jewish cabal, a Bolshevik revolution, and I'm going to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ, you're next. Get it through your head. They're coming for you. There will be a purge. That's the next thing that happens when Jews take over a country. They kill millions of Christians.
Who is Rome and so on? Who is Esav? Because Esav is not only a persecutory agent, but it's the greatest of all the persecutory agents, and it is the longest. You know, it's been around with us. Not in the form of Rome, which I will mention, but it has been around for a long time, thousands of years. And therefore, Esav is the greatest of the persecutory nations, and it is the longest. It all started, of course, with Esav. Esav became Edom, which is a nation. Edom became Rome. The Torah says Esav is Edom. The Gemara says, the Talmud says, that Rome, that Edom is Rome, Zuraimi. Okay. But what's interesting, of course, is that God decided that he doesn't want a nation, or rather Rome, a nation, to be the greatest persecutory agent for the Jews, because that would mean that until the Mashiach comes, Rome has to be the major dominant force or nation in the entire world. And God does not want that. As it is, Rome was, you know, a nation for at least probably close to 1,000 years. And then the one in Constantinople won even another 1,000 years after that. So what God did, which is interesting, he changed the form of Esav. Instead of it being Rome, it became Christianity. The concept of Esav as Edom and as Rome was changed, transformed into a religion. So therefore, any nation that has that religion can be considered Esav. See? So therefore, it's not one nation that is now 2,000 years or whatever, but it is a religion, and any nation that has that religion predominantly is called Esav. And that's what happened, you see. So Christianity, of course, ultimately became Western civilization. So Esav today is really Western civilization.
The Rambam says that there are three mitzvahs that's that the Jewish people were commanded to do when they entered into the land of Israel. And they are, number one, to establish a king for themselves.
Moshiach.
Number two, Ulahachriz Zarei Shalom Molik, and to cut off the offsprings of the nation of Amalek. And number three,
cut off the offsprings. Abortion, trying all the propaganda in the media telling white people to not have kids. The idea that white kids and white people are just inherently racist. You wonder, where does all this anti-white propaganda come from?
The central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that.